والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
نثار جميع مؤمنين المؤمنات بالأخص مرحومي مغفور بانو حاجي اسمت زيافت من رفعتي و حاج آقا حسین علی احتشام رضوی و حاج آقا سعید خیلی مخلصیم و جمیع مؤمنین و مؤمنات رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات. امشب خایر بودم.
احسنت آقا، این ایشون هی زحمت زیادی میکشن آقای مشتبه های سبز رو و برای شادی روح تمام اموات ایشون معمولا میگن که فاتحه بخونید. منم از همه شما تقاضا میکنم برای شادی روح پدر و مادر ایشون قرائت فاتحه فرمایید. الی روح مرحوم والدین حاج مشتبه فاتح مع الصلوات. سیدنا فضل
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين اجتنبوا الطاغوت أن يعبدوها وأنابوا إلى الله لهم البشرى فبشر عباد الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. And as for those who shun false deities and worshipping them and turn to God, to them glad tidings. So give glad tidings to my servants who listen to the word, then follow what is most beautiful of it. It is they whom God has guided. It is they who are the possessors of intellect. Amanna billah. Sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. We live in the age of digital technology, the internet, and social media. I'd like to share a few statistics in this regard with you tonight. We're told that there are approximately 4 billion internet users around the globe. That's just a little over half of the world's population have access to and use the internet. When it comes to Facebook, we're told that Facebook currently has about 2.2 billion active monthly users. 2.2 billion active monthly users. When it comes to Twitter, we're told that Twitter has about 330 million monthly users, and that every single day, 500 million tweets are sent. Of course, we know many of those are by our own President Trump. When it comes to Snapchat, we're told about 190 million daily users, 190 million daily users, and that approximately 3.5 billion photo messages are sent every day on Snapchat. Some of you are looking at me and they have no idea what Snapchat is. When we come to YouTube, a favorite, we're told that YouTube has about 1.5 billion monthly users who watch about 1 billion hours a day, 1 billion hours a day worth of videos on YouTube. And then last but certainly not least is WhatsApp. We're told that with WhatsApp, the average WhatsApp user sends about 1,000 messages per month. Of course, we all know at least one person who sends 10 times the amount. And so this is all to say that the point behind this is that we know that digital technology, the internet and social media has transformed our lives in remarkable ways, and that it has had a profound impact on our communication, our connectivity, and our lifestyle. Now, some of you may be saying, you're not telling us anything new. This is a truism. You're just telling us something commonplace, that a lot of people have access to the internet, that they use the internet and social media and digital technology all the time. But I'm sure there are those who are here in the room who remember, among them me, remember a time where digital media was not so prevalent, where the internet was not so frequently used, where social media did not even exist. Right? Some of you may remember that there was a time when hardly anyone had a cell phone, or it was very difficult to sort of get an internet connection. You may remember the first days of the internet connection, where if you had AOL, for example, you have to dial up, plug it into the phone jack, right? Dial up, and if anyone were to call or pick up the phone or something, you'd lose your connection and all sorts of problems. Right, the dial-up connection, or you'd have to have subscription with one of the browsers, such as Netscape Navigator. I know this sounds foreign to many of us, especially those on the younger side of the age spectrum, right? Many of you remember when, if you wanted to get directions, you'd have to go online, www.mapquest.com, and you'd have to print the directions. This was part of a lot of people's lives. And so within the past couple of decades, there has been a huge transformation in our world when it comes to the prevalence of digital technology internet use, and especially social media use. And we know that there have been many remarkable advantages with the advent of the internet and with, you know, these advancements in technology and communications. Many, many advantages. Some of the advantages have been that we have now greater connectivity. Many of us have family, friends, people we know who may live in other parts of the world, and we are able to communicate with one another with great ease. We're able to communicate with our friends and family members to stay in touch, keep up with their news all over the world. Very, very simple to do so. We find that digital technology and social media have given a platform, there's a platform that is there to a greater number of people so that they are seen and that they are heard. Before, if you wanted to be seen or heard, you had to have the financial capacity and the human power to, you know, go on satellite TV or go on cable. With all of the difficulties with that, nowadays, a lot of people have access to a platform where they can be seen and they can be heard with ease, with simplicity. We find that social media and digital technology has allowed people to express their creativity, and that many businesses have flourished. People whose businesses, small businesses, were local at one point are now able to reach a wider audience, and this has been beneficial for a lot of people in their, you know, business lives. It's allowed a lot of people to express themselves creatively and to develop their creativity. In the realm of education, we find that now more and more people have access to more and more information. More people are now able to listen to lectures, you know, if they're not able to attend the mosque, for instance, or they are far away from a certain location where there are religious functions or events, they're able to tune in. They can listen to lectures from anywhere in the world at any time. They have access to this information, to this knowledge. We find that many institutions of higher learning and education have moved towards either fully or partly an online platform. There are many classes that are held fully online right now or partially online. And some of them, in fact, are even held for free. If you go online and you search, you can find classes that are offered at major universities, even some of the Ivy Leagues, that are completely free. They're open access, and people can take advantage of them wherever they are in the world. We find that this has allowed us to gain greater access to the primary sources. Right? I say this from a point of view of a researcher. My capacity now, my capability now to access some of the primary sources of our religious tradition is much, much greater. Perhaps it was unimaginable to have access to so much only about 20 years ago. But now we have virtually an unlimited access to these sources, these primary sources, these secondary sources of knowledge. And so this has helped people increase their education and their knowledge. It's given us greater opportunities for awareness, to be aware of what's happening in the world around us, and to be aware of many of the organizations and the projects and the institutions out there that are doing great things, and thus we are able to contribute. Before, many of these organizations, they would work locally, they would work in a specific place, and much of their support was very local. Now you have international organizations, NGOs, nonprofits, other organizations that are able to spread awareness of their causes all around the globe, and they can receive support, and they can collaborate with other organizations in order to maximize the amount of good that is done. So we find that there are a lot of advantages. There are a lot of good things. And I think that it's important for us as a community, and I mentioned this last night, as part of the way that we face, we can overcome the challenges, the various challenges that we face, that we think of strategic ways of taking advantage of the internet and digital technology and social media in order to further propagate good, whether it's teaching and education, whether it's helping others, whatever it may be. We think of ways that we can take advantage of this in order to continue sustaining and supporting good endeavors and projects. Yet, with all of these advantages, digital technology, the internet, social media, and the like, have also opened the door to major disasters and crises. With these advancements have come also lots of problems, lots of challenges that individuals and communities face. And so we face several challenges. And tonight, brothers and sisters, I'd like to focus on some, again, this is not an exhaustive discussion, but on some of the risks, some of the challenges, and some of the problems that are related to our usage of the internet, of digital technology, and of social media. And I've categorized them in three main categories. Again, this is not exhaustive, and you'll probably think of many examples that, you know, I don't mention or that may not even fall within these categories. And I welcome, you know, feedback and discussion regarding this, because I really think that this is a very, very important topic. Some of us might be thinking, what's the big deal? We may not necessarily think about social media or digital technology or the internet in negative terms of the possibilities of there being risks and challenges. But as I will show and discuss briefly tonight, this is a major challenge, brothers and sisters. And it is one that we as individuals and as a community need to be able to be open about, to be frank, and to discuss, not to sweep under the rug, but to face head on. The first set of challenges are those to our maintaining our religion and religious identity. And I spoke very briefly yesterday about the importance of maintaining a religious identity, in addition to the spirituality that we talk about, specifically in regards to maintaining a religious identity and all of that which comes with that. Greater access to information. I mentioned that we have a virtually unlimited access to information, to various and differing views from around the globe, from different people and organizations. This poses a certain difficulty sometimes in maintaining our religious identity. We often find that sometimes we find threats, we are threatened, our belief system is threatened through access to some of this information. There are people, individuals and organizations who have taken it upon themselves to go out and to, in their words, expose some of the faulty doctrines of certain religious traditions, and among them Islam. And so often I hear this, you know, from a lot of people. They approach me and they say, you know, they'll send me a link to a YouTube video or a clip about someone who is discussing certain controversies of the Quran or contradictions of the Quran or, you know, discussing other sorts of controversies, raising certain questions, and the person who's asking me is asking for help. This person is raising, the person who's creating the video, this organization, is creating certain controversies and questions that require responses. And so it becomes difficult it becomes more difficult with such access to maintain some of our beliefs, some of our doctrines. We find that many people raise doubts. We find that there is greater access to quote-unquote fake news. Nowadays, we find it very easy for people, young and old, to be manipulated in their beliefs, either through certain organizations or individuals who spread news that is fake, who spread ideas that are controversial, that are there to take advantage of people and to manipulate their minds and their beliefs. Often we find that part of this is sort of the elaboration of rumors and things that are fake. It's very easy nowadays, brothers and sisters, with the technology that we have, for us to create a fake video where, you know, someone who, you know, using images and using videography and using other sorts of technologies, where you can completely create a fake video. And people, you know, they watch this, they listen, and in many times they go on and they propagate this. We find this in our own lives. A lot of people that we know, they receive a photo, they receive a video, they receive a video clip or an audio clip or whatnot. They hear it, they see it, and immediately they'll probably forward it to their friends, without necessarily recognizing or knowing whether there is any truth to this, whether this is real, whether this has been manipulated, whether this has been photoshopped. And so this access to information causes a host of problems, a host of religious problems. Among the problems in this regard, brothers and sisters, is our exposure to and sharing of immoral or indecent things. Even sometimes when we're careful, in many of these social media sites, right? To take one example, if you look at Instagram, where people are sharing their photos and videos, many times, even if the people that you follow and the people that you interact with, you know, they're decent people, but here you are open to an entire world of people sharing everything, and just with a small touch of a button, you turn from the main page, your feed, right? I'm sorry for all of the details, but I'm trying to elaborate the example here, and I'm sure all of you are aware. But turning from your own feed of people who you follow to an open sort of field of everyone, those around you in your location, complete strangers, and the things that they're posting. And so there could be exposure to seeing things, to hearing things that are inappropriate, that are immoral. And sometimes someone might say, well, you know what, it was just one thing that I saw, one photo, one video. But if we keep adding these one after another, then we become desensitized to indecency. Of course, it's not through just one photo or one video or one thing that we hear that, God forbid, suddenly we fall off the path and we are misguided. No, it's when we begin to put one above one above one, and sooner before later, we find that we have become desensitized to something that is immoral, something that is unacceptable, so that we are exposed. There is this risk of exposure, brothers and sisters. And this is important. A risk to exposure of indecency and immorality, or also the risk of sharing at the same time. Sometimes, unfortunately, we find that many people who are otherwise observant and understanding, right, they may, God forbid, share things that are inappropriate with others around them. And this causes a huge problem for us. The Quran reminds us in chapter 17, verse 36, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٍ. Do not pursue, go after that which you have no knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ. Indeed, the hearing, السمع, والبصر, eyesight, والفؤاد, the heart,
كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. All of these things will be held to account. We're held to account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about the things that we looked at, the things that we heard, the things that we said, the things that we thought about, our intentions. We are asked about this. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Small amount, small ounce of good or evil we will see, will be held to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when it comes to some of this information, this availability of information, it poses a risk for us, for our religious identity and values. It begins to chip away slowly but surely. We may not recognize at first, but after a while we may see this in our lives, we may see this in the lives of our friends and family members and others. And so this first challenge is that to our religious identity and values. This is number one. The second category of challenges are those related to our social lives. The internet, digital technology, and social media has impacted our friendships, our marriages, and our other relationships. You sitting here may know of people close or far who have been impacted by social media. Their friendships have been destroyed. Long time friendships, lifelong friendships have been destroyed because or through the internet or social media. Marriages, complete marriages have fallen apart. They have been destroyed because one or both of the partners was not responsible. One or both of the partners engaged in inappropriate behavior through social media or through the internet. Entire marriages and families have come crumbling down. Other kinds of relationships between spouses, between parents, between children, between siblings, between other acquaintances. Sometimes this has caused trouble for people at their work. Some people have been fired because their boss decided to go through their social media and maybe found something that is inappropriate. It's happened. Or some people have not even gotten a job because of this. It's destroyed people's lives. And so there is this risk to our social life also. We find that unfortunately many times those around us have developed poor social skills. Poor social skills. Before, there was a time where when people had a problem with one another, they would talk to one another. They have an issue, they would talk to one another. Nowadays, unfortunately, because it's so easy through social media, we find that people, instead of talking to each other, they're talking about one another. Or they're not even talking to each other. A spouse, a husband and a wife, they get into an argument, and their entire argument is through text. They don't take the time to overcome this problem that they have just by simply talking to each other. They don't know how to talk to each other anymore. All they know is how to text. I know some people who, when their phone rings, they're afraid. They become afraid when their phone rings. They don't like talking to people over the phone. All they want to do is just text. Happens, right? You call them a million times, you'll never get them. Just send them a text immediately. Before you've sent the text, the reply has already come. Poor social skills. We don't know how to talk to one another. We find this in our gatherings, our social gatherings. We no longer sit down and enjoy one another's company. Everyone sits down. We may do so for a few minutes. But then as soon as one, the first courageous person, if we can call him or her the courageous person, they take out their phone, suddenly everyone else pulls out their phone. And we've seen images of families and friends, they're sitting around in a circle and everyone's looking at their phone. You know, we laugh about it. But if we think in the long term, if we think of the risks and challenges that this poses to us generation after generation, this impacts us as a civilization, as an entire civilization. Some of us, you know, we laugh about this, we joke about this, because we remember a time when, you know, this was not okay, when people did not do this. But after a while, if this continues, this trend continues, what happens to us? As a civilization, we completely forget. It becomes completely normal. Nowadays, we still have some people in our family who will remind us, hey, put the phone down, let's talk. But after a while, those people will disappear. And you'll have an entire society that develops poor social skills. When it comes to our study habits, social media has had disastrous effects on people's study habits. People's attention spans. They're no longer able to take a book for an extended period of time and read. If they're doing homework, they have to, you know, check their social media every few minutes. If they're, you know, trying to do research, they're trying to do other kinds of work, it's distracting. People are no longer able to focus anymore. Nowadays, right, I remember there was a time where people would sit in a lecture, they would listen to a lecture, and sometimes the, you know, speaker would go on for, you know, over an hour. I promise I'll try not to do so myself. And people would be okay, they would listen. Nowadays, after 5-10 minutes, you know, people do not have the capacity of watching a video for more than 5 minutes. That's it. That's the limit. They're not capable of you know, keeping their attention. This is an effect on our society, on our social skills. Unfortunately, this has also caused another impact when it comes to our social sort of aspect of lives, is that social media has allowed people to sort of express their best selves. People usually don't post their tragedies and their problems and their bad hair days. Usually, some people do, mashallah, they post everything. But in most cases, people, they express their best selves. And this has sometimes a negative impact on us when we begin to look at the lives of others, where they travel, what they do, what they eat, who they're with. This, and we begin to compare ourselves to others. Why is it that my friend has gone, you know, and traveled to all of these different places and is capable of doing so with ease, and I have not gone there? Why does my friend or family member, you know, own such beautiful furniture and I don't have this? Oh, my friend just bought the latest, you know, car or phone or whatever it may be, and I don't have this. So we begin to compare our lives to the lives of others, assuming that this is the entirety of their lives, without remembering that, no, they probably have challenges, they probably have problems. And so we assume that their lives are perfect, and we compare our lives to theirs, and this causes anxiety. This causes people to have a false sense of worth. They begin, their standard for worth is the best of other people's lives. When we post something online, we expect what? We expect a reaction from people. That's the whole point. The whole point of social media is that people will react to that which you say, that which you do, that which you post. And unfortunately, when sometimes, you know, people have their lives, believe it or not, some people are not always on social media. So if you post something and your followers or your friends don't immediately react, you begin to sense a sense of anxiety. Or maybe people don't like what I posted. People don't like my life. And this causes problems for us. We have a false sense of worth. And even if we get thousands and, you know, hundreds of thousands of likes or whatever it may be, this is also a false sense. You've probably seen people, you know, I've seen this myself. People who are scrolling on their feed and they're liking everything. It's just a habit. It's just a habit. They just like everything. And so this gives the person a false sense of worth, that their lives are meaningful because they posted something, or they're not because they posted something. And this is problematic. This causes problems for our society. And much of it, brothers and sisters, is largely a waste of time. You know, one of the ironies of our times is that these advancements in technology and communication have supposed to speed things up, to give us more time, right? When we send an email versus sending a letter by mail, it's supposed to give us more time. You get more done when you can make calls and send texts and, you know, see what people are up to and connect with them in real time, instantaneously. This is supposed to give us more time to do things that are beneficial, but we largely find ourselves wasting our time. Wasting our time. When's the last time we picked up a book and we read a book? When's the last time we had a meaningful conversation with our spouse or our children? When's the last time, you know, we went out and we spent time with them? We can think about many instances in our own lives that one of the ironies of our time is that we are engaged in a lot of wasting of our times. This is the second aspect. And the third aspect is the physiological and psychological challenges and problems of the internet and social media. Many reports indicate that there are those who have become addicted to social media. A few months ago, you may remember one of our dear brothers, Hadrab Turfi, he showed us a small clip and he spoke about this very issue of the ways in which people have become addicted. Just like it's a very similar process and perhaps even worse than addiction to some major drugs. People are addicted, they're obsessed with social media when we're constantly checking over and over and over again. It's the first thing we do when we wake up, it's the last thing we do before we go to sleep. I read a report once about a psychological case or issue that is known as FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. People have a fear of missing out, that if I'm not constantly online, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, I might miss something. Something might happen. My best friend of 20 years might get married in this 5 minutes, and I would have no idea. We'll miss out. Something's going to happen. Some issue, major thing is going to happen, and I will have no idea. Everyone else will, and I'll be completely in the dark. And so this pushes people to constantly engaging with social media in order to stay sort of in the loop. And in the know, sometimes we find people who are what we may call media zombies. Really, really media zombies. I mean, just go to a college campus. Go to a college campus and just walk around. And just observe. You will find that the vast majority, not everyone, but the vast majority of people who are walking on college campus are on their phones. On their phones. Even when they're riding their bikes, even when they're on their skateboards, even when they're just walking, everyone is on their phone. We see this at schools, we see this in public transportation, we see this on the streets, we see this in malls, we see this in restaurants. It's an addiction. It really is an addiction. We cannot enjoy our vacations anymore, the scenery of our vacation, except that we have to take a photo and post it. We don't enjoy our food, except we take a photo and we share it. We don't enjoy our gatherings, except that we have to share this moment. This has become prevalent in our lives, brothers and sisters. Prevalent in our lives. It's led to poor health.